Celise Berry is founding executive director of Out and Equal Workplace Advocates, the nation's only national nonprofit organization dedicated to creating safe and equitable workplaces for LGBT people. Hi, Celise.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. Tell us about your organization and what led you to create it.
Out and Equal has been around about 10 years, and we basically work to create what we like to call out and equal workplaces, workplaces where lesbian and gay, bisexual and transgender people can really bring all of who they are to work. And we work with executives, with LGBT employee resource groups, with HR professionals, and employees, organizations as a whole, to really help create safe and equitable workplaces for our community. And we do that through an LGBT diversity training program where we come in and lead an LGBT diversity training or transgender-specific training. And through our biggest event every year, which is our annual summit, is held in different parts of the country every year and brings together 2,500 people to talk about issues relating to the LGBT community at work.
How has Out and Equal Workplace Advocates affected our LGBT community nationally?
Well, I really feel like that the workplace is where society is changing the most and really helping society change, because people show up for work every single day. They work side by side with people of different races, ethnicities, genders, and obviously sexual orientations and gender identity. And so I think that people get to know Marie, and then, oh, by the way, she happens to be a lesbian. It's not just that this is the only thing that she knows about, or they know that she's a great marketing person or a great IT person, and oh, it's more of like, and oh, by the way, you know, she brought her woman partner to the office party. But it becomes a little bit diffused, and I feel like because more and more people are being out at work, and the work that Out and Equal has done to really create equal policies for people to feel comfortable being out, has really helped move the whole agenda forward in this country.
How has your organization affected LGBT community globally?
There are certainly a lot of, well, obviously there's a lot of LGBT people around the world, the companies that we work with are global. And so we are in conversation with a lot of global companies to look at extending their domestic partner benefits worldwide to be able to provide the domestic partner benefits in places in the world where homosexuality is still illegal, and to be able to really kind of make a statement in places like India and China where it's either not talked about very much, or there are laws against homosexuality. And so I feel like we are having an impact, and this program, I mean, it's a lot of the resources that we put on our website are picked up in places all around the world, and there are people that work for companies like IBM and Citi and other major companies that are members of Out and Equal, even though they live in places outside the U.S. We have about 20 countries represented at our summit every year.
With millions of Americans losing their jobs, what advice do you have for our LGBT community finding themselves in this situation?
Well, I think that it's important. What our message to the companies themselves is that diversity is not a luxury. It's a necessity, and it's not something that you can just, when resources are scarce, it's not something that you want to just cut because it's because you're not feeling flush that day. It's really important in terms of recruitment, retention of the employees that you have, and or the retention of the employees that you have, recruiting of new employees. And I think it's important for the LGBT community to kind of stand strong. I think it's obviously a difficult time if you are unemployed, but I think because I certainly feel like the work of Out and Equal and the work that so many people have done to come out at work has really meant that we have an opportunity to continue to come out even when you're in the process of getting a job.
What kind of resistance have you encountered from employers?
You know, to be honest, we don't experience a lot of resistance. Many, many companies that we work with are trying to do the right thing around diversity. And for many companies, it's a brand new concept. It's not as so much resistance as it is a lot of questions and just people that just really don't understand the issues. We've done surveys that show that about 65 or close to 70% of straight Americans have no idea that there's no federal law that protects us from discrimination in the workplace. And, you know, that really suggests that we have a long way to go, not only getting our protection, but also educating people that we aren't protected. There have been a number of individuals that come to our summit and their lives are changed as a result of being at the summit. And we've had situations where individuals will be present, go back to their company, and write up a report. We had a man come from a large company in Arkansas, and after coming to the summit, he went back and told his colleagues about it. He brought four of his friends the next year, and they went back and they wrote a 30-page document that they got in every executive's hands about all the things that they learned at the Out and Equal Summit. And the next year we had 35 people from that company that came. And so I feel like those kinds of situations happen, not to that extent, but certainly people that go back to their company and share what they've learned at the summit and bring more and more people with them every time that they come to the summit, so that they can really expand the network of people. And I feel like everywhere I go to talk about Out and Equal workplaces and do pride events within these large companies, people consistently tell me the summit has been a life-changing experience for them, and that has really spurred them to really be an activist within their workplace to make it an Out and Equal workplace.
With Obama in the White House, what kind of timeline would you like to see for passing a national ENDA?
Well, I'd love to see it tomorrow. President Obama is being very thoughtful and strategic about moving things forward. Obviously, I fully anticipate, you know, an inclusive ENDA being passed, but because of the situation that we're in now, where we've passed an ENDA that only includes sexual orientation, there's still some work to be done on educating people to bring them along to understanding that it's an inclusive ENDA that everyone supports at this point. And my hope is that, you know, I think that he's taking his time, which I can appreciate and understand, but my hope is that certainly within the next year or two that we'll see an inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act passed.
What is your advice for LGBT people who are afraid to come out at work?
You know, on the one hand, I want to say I understand. We've all been there. On the other hand, I would say at the same time, I would say many people have done so much work in this arena in order for you to feel safe coming out. And it's obviously, you know, not every single workplace is a safe place to come out, but I think so often we shoot ourselves in the foot with our own internalized homophobia and our fear that people won't respond positively, that sets us back. And if we're not able to bring all of who we are to work every day, we're focusing on changing pronouns and not talking about our weekend rather than focusing on the job that we're hired to do. And so you're just going to be automatically going to be more efficient and more authentic if you come out and live your life with authenticity and integrity. I strongly encourage people to come out at work and keep wanting to remind them that sometimes this fear just lives in their head and nobody else's.
We're going to change the subject a little bit. You've been married to your partner, Cynthia Martin. What is your feeling about Prop 8?
Cynthia and I decided in 2007 that it was time to bring together our friends and families in order to celebrate our relationship and really what we called getting married, even though we knew that it wasn't legal. And so we were delighted a year later on our anniversary, our one-year anniversary, that in fact it was legal, and we were able to get married in City Hall and legally in the state of California. And then, of course, all that sunshine and hopefulness about a new day dawning was kind of smashed on November 4th when Prop 8 was passed. And so I know that a lot of people with a lot of anger and frustration about that and pointing fingers at why, you know, who did what to let down the community, because, and that it shouldn't have been passed. I do think it's always important to talk about those, whatever, 25 points or what, the number, I don't even know specifically, but 25 to 30 points that we gained from the last time a proposition came forward in the state of California until this year, and that, you know, losing by 4 points means that we're moving in the right direction.
What do you think about the separation between church and state?
Well, I think that our country was founded on the separation of church and state, and that when we have a knowledgeable, thoughtful, smart president, that everybody, you know, sort of sees that as an important thing. And when we've had situations with kind of right-wing or at least, you know, religious presidents that blur the line, I think that that really creates a lot of difficulties. I think that it was very significant for Obama. I think may have been one of the first presidents in his our inauguration speech to mention non-believers in this great country of ours. And I feel like it's so important with the diversity, and certainly living in the San Francisco Bay Area, where you see so much religious diversity and so many people that are not believers, that it just doesn't make sense for us to have this notion of that there is only one religion, because there's not, and that somehow our government needs to be tied up with religion, because I feel like that just gets us into trouble time and time again.
Tell us about your events that you have planned for 2009.
Well, our upcoming event is our executive forum. We have, for the first time last year in 2008, brought together LGBT executives. And so the plan, we're planning the second annual LGBT executive forum in March. And so we're looking forward to, again, bringing together a group of executives to talk about all the issues that they face in their workplaces. Then in June 11th, we'll be having the second annual celebration dinner, where people from certainly the Bay Area, as well as around the country, and members of our regional affiliates around the country, gather together in San Francisco for a celebration and dinner and gala. And we will be giving out awards to companies and individuals that have really moved forward the LGBT workplace agenda. Our biggest event every year, of course, is our annual Out in Equal Workplace Summit. That'll be in Orlando, October 6th through 9th. And it's an amazing 3 days of workshops, keynote speakers, featured sessions, and entertainment, to literally hundreds of opportunities to both network with other out LGBT people, share best practices about what has been successful in their workplace. And it's a fabulous event, and that's in October of 2009.
Do you have a statement you would like to make about the future of LGBT rights in this country?
You know, I think that we are moving in the right direction, that we've had hiccups like many of the marriage equality propositions, including Prop 8, along the way, but our movement gets stronger every day. It gets stronger every day because the work that people are doing in all kinds of workplaces is really propelling us forward, and the work that people are doing in their workplaces, the government, they're doing that work, and in media. And I just feel like things, you know, like public personalities that are more and more people that are willing to come out and recognize that their career is not totally over just because they are willing to stand up and say who they are. So what I hope, I think, for our community is that, you know, once we get equal rights, that we still maintain a sense of community, because I think so much of our sense of community comes from the struggle. And I really believe in the next 10 years, it won't feel so much like a struggle, and that we retain the specialness and sense of community that we experience.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through times like these?
I think that one of my favorite quotes is from Mary Oliver, and she says, you know, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And when the economic times are difficult, we still just get this one wild and precious life, and I think it's one of the things that reminds me that this work is just so vital and so important, and we could be doing a lot of other things, but kind of what our calling is in this time.